Hi, Jack. Vern Carroll here. The ship doesn't bring my mail anymore, so I'm trying to make more mail come by sending more letters, the old magical principle. I remember having promised you some indication of what was going on out here, and I'm sure that you know more about it than I do, since I'm really cut off from the center of political machinations and decisions, but I can give you a brief rundown on my general impressions so far, with the caveat that they're probably wildly inaccurate. We came to Panape at the beginning of September via, or the end of August via Kwajalein. There's that hotel we were talking about is really quite a nice affair, of about 10 rooms, and it is indeed very very suitable for family living for a short period. It's really only the expense, $9 a day per person, room and board. And the fact that the meals are pretty crummy, that would make one not want to stay there for a long time. Housing otherwise in Ponape is exceedingly scarce. Everything has been grabbed up, especially because they've gotten at least a dozen, and perhaps by now more, new school teachers in Ponape. I understand there's something like 150 being hired, 150 additional school teachers, in a crash program to start teaching kids English from the first grade. I understand they eventually plan to go so far as to put a school teacher and his government-constructed house and his radio station and everything else on every atoll, Kapingi, Nukuroa, all of them alike. They, of course, started hiring teachers, and the teachers, in fact, started arriving before they got the houses constructed, before they even planned to have the houses constructed, and, of course, the actual construction is running much later. However, it looks like construction is going ahead fairly rapidly because it's in the hands of private contractors, J&G. Jones and Guerrero or something in Guam. I've got the contract for the houses in new houses in Ponape. Father Costigan over at the Catholic Mission in Medellin. Ponapean's not very good. Has a housing co-op. And they got the contract for the all the school buildings, which brings us to the general subject of private enterprise and competition is opened up again. The policy has apparently changed with the new administration and allowing more private enterprise and more competition within the trust territory. I understand that Carlos Etcheid had bought a boat 7 years ago to try to break the stranglehold that the Guam importers had on the trust territory retail trade by importing from Australia via Rabaul. And High Commissioner just wouldn't let him sail from port. Now he's got a boat, the Tungaro. They bought in the Gilberts with a Gilbertese skipper. And it's making a regular run from Ponape to Rabaul, stopping in Nukuroa and Kapinga Morangi. It's about every 6 weeks or two, about every 2 months, I guess. And guy by the name of Jack Adams, who may have been out here when you were, was engineer on one of the Pacific Micronesian Line ships and married Carlos Etcheid's daughter, is running this Rabaul trade, and he told me when they passed through here the other day that they could use three ships like that. And in fact, now what they're trying to arrange for is a copra barge, just to get their finger in the copra trade. Friend Imhoffer turned out to be very nice and very helpful to me. He was passed over for the third or fourth time for district administrator. Halverson, who I guess was around when you were the former district educator, educational administrator in Pohnpei District, and then later assistant district administrator several other places, several other districts, was just appointed district administrator, and they assigned Imhoffer as assistant district administrator in Truk. He'd been assistant district administrator, I think, in every other district. And so he got ticked off and resigned. His last official act was to send the Casalalia, which is the district Pacific Micronesian Line boat, down here with some trunks of mine. It was actually on the going to Kusai with a whole bunch of Kusaians and freight and sick people and the rest. And he sent it 600 miles out of its way. The Casalalia put itself on the reef, and so we had them down here for 3 weeks. But in the recriminations against him for doing such an idiotic thing, I gathered that he was roundly unpopular with everybody, exceedingly strong-willed, very much colorblind, very much the sort of character would tell the natives what to do. And if they don't like it, it's just too bad. He neglected to tell anyone down here that I was coming, and also neglected to send a letter of introduction to the chief magistrate. So when we arrived, not only did they have no idea of where we might stay, but the chief magistrate, who's a little paranoid, was really quite apprehensive about what our mission was and whether, in fact, we were here with any authorization at all. That very nearly sums up what I know about Pohnpei. We only stayed there 2 weeks. I was given the opportunity of catching the first boat down, and I took it. I found it very disagreeable sort of place. I thought there were a few... I found a few Americans there who were obviously had great talent, but very much hemmed in by the bureaucracy and by lesser minds. Of course, the amount of gossiping that goes on is just a continual process, and I did get very tired of having my ear bent. Of course, the Pohnpeians in high places, working for the government and in their own elective offices, have developed what I suppose is an indigenous pattern, even beyond this level of gossip and backbiting and pissing and moaning. They, of course, are particularly keen to attach themselves to any visitor who may have the ear of somebody in government, yet who's not in it, not in a position to retaliate against them or hold them accountable for what they say. And I didn't very much enjoy the evening spent in bars or other hangouts around there. For this reason, it seemed to me almost impossible to hold a normal conversation with anybody, Pohnpeian or American, that did not constantly reiterate all of the aspects of somebody's or another's someone or another's personality in evaluative terms. Dr. Hanlon, the head of the Protestant mission in Pohnpei, was through here on the Tongaro, and he said that Pohnpei is, at the moment, just a mess. Nobody knows what they're doing. The district, with the change in district administrator and assistant district administrator, and all of the widespread changes in policy, which not only are affected by the new district administrator, but which are a result of policy changes for the Trust Territory as a whole, initiated by the High Commissioner's Office. It seems that everybody feels very insecure and has started jockeying for position from scratch, feeling that all the rules of the game have been changed now, and that they have to start from the beginning in building their empires. I take it that the major theme of the High Commissioner's policy is development of the Trust Territory with a economic development and particularly an emphasis on education, as I've mentioned. I notice that there are people passing through who are specialists in transportation and who are worried about things like building an airport in Ponape and getting several ships and planes and the like. People who are specialists in economic development. They want a broadcasting station in Ponape. They want to send more people to Hawaii for school, including technical schools like fisheries and electronics. They want to get people into better schools, taking advantage of these opportunity scholarships, fellowships. I better turn this tape over.